There is no definition or restriction on this to the number of people who can get married. And I think that polygamy is the next way station on this train of the sexual revolution.
I have just a couple of questions for you. Have you participated in diversity or DEI initiatives? Or any initiative that promotes gender ideology or deviates from the biblically based definition of a marriage? Are you now or have you ever been a member of any of the following groups?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. ILGA boots Tel Aviv from World Conference contention, Second Japanese High Court rules for marriage equality, and the queer side of U.S. election fever mirrors mainstream political pressures. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 2nd, 2024. Tel Aviv is off the list of potential hosts for a future world conference of ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association. ILGA's board of directors hastily called an emergency meeting ahead of its mid-November world conference in Cape Town, South Africa, in response to social media objections to Tel Aviv's application. The applicant was Israel's umbrella LGBTQ advocacy group, the Aguda. ILGA's board also voted to suspend the Aguda's membership as it considers the group's possible violations of ILGA World's aims and objectives. The complaints concerned the alarmingly expanding war that continues to devastate Gaza and other parts of the Middle East. ILGA's official statement called the actions a reaction to significant and legitimate disconcert regarding a member organization bidding to host the World Conference in Tel Aviv, Israel in 2026 or 2027. The board said it wanted to ensure that we fully uphold universal respect for human rights, equal representation, and elimination of barriers to participation for all members, including in our conferences. The Aguda responded that it was deeply disappointed by the fact that ILGA chose to boycott those who work for LGBTQ rights and for a more just society. Its statement cited the organization's 50-year track record of working for the rights of all LGBTQ people, including Arabs and Palestinian asylum seekers. In Aguda's words, queer Israeli groups should not bear responsibility for government policy, and we expect the international community to support liberal voices rather than boycott them. Rabbi Jill Jacobs of the global human rights group TRUA agrees. Jacobs is an American Jewish critic of the Israeli government herself, but thinks ILGA's action does nothing to stop the war or protect the rights of LGBTQ people, including Palestinians. It only punishes people fighting for safety and equality. The rabbi points out, ILGA has affiliates in other countries carrying out massive human rights violations. Israel should be no different. ILGA World Executive Director Julia Ert denied any suggestion of anti-Semitism in a statement to the Washington Blade. She insisted, "We have repeatedly called for peace in the region and continue to work every day to counter racism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and anti-Semitism, alongside LGBTI phobia." ILGA has member organizations in more than 150 countries around the world and has been around for 46 years.
A second Japanese High Court has ruled that the federal government's resistance to marriage equality is unconstitutional. The Tokyo High Court judges were unequivocal, calling the government's position groundless legal discrimination based on sexual orientation. Japan's constitution specifies marriage shall be based only on the mutual consent of both sexes, and it shall be maintained through mutual cooperation with the equal rights of husband and wife as a basis. However, marriage equality proponents point to the constitutional provisions guaranteeing fundamental human rights for all people and protection from discrimination based on race, creed, sex, social status, or family origin. More than 200 municipalities in Japan offer at least symbolic recognition to lesbian and gay couples, and Sapporo's High Court ruled for marriage equality ahead of Tokyo's in March. However, even if all 8 regional high courts decided in favor, any changes to the national marriage laws can only be made in Japan's legislature, the National Diet. Support for marriage equality polls at up to 70% with the Japanese public, but the socially conservative government of Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has consistently blocked any effort to even discuss the issue in the National Diet. Advocates are hoping that Kishida will be forced to compromise on more progressive policies like marriage equality now that his ruling Liberal Democratic Party lost its parliamentary majority in October 27th national elections. When leaders from the world's most advanced economies meet, Japan remains the only country in the G7 that has not opened civil marriage to same-gender couples.
More than 1 in 10 Australian teenagers identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, or asexual. This, according to a University of Sydney survey of more than 6,000 Year 8 students, followed between 2019 and 2021. 12% of them are sexually diverse. Gender diversity accounts for an additional 3.3% of respondents. For many, minority stress has already taken its toll, with 17.7% of respondents saying they'd been diagnosed with a mental health issue. The most common was generalized anxiety disorder at 7.8%. Adult attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and social anxiety disorder were next at about 6% each. Senior research fellow Jennifer Marino warned that the findings reveal an urgent need for programs for young Australian queers to decrease stigma, discrimination, and violence. In her opinion, such programs should promote inclusion and support of diverse gender identities and sexualities from a young age to mitigate the deleterious impact of minority stress and internalized transphobia and homophobia. She called for further research. The study was published in the journal JAMA Network Open.
Dr. Hector Granados of El Paso is the second gender-affirming healthcare physician targeted by rabidly anti-queer Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Granados is a pediatric endocrinologist being sued for treating transgender young people. Paxton charges him with prescribing puberty blockers and hormone therapy to more than 20 minors with gender dysphoria, the sense that the patient's gender identity is out of sync with their physical presentation. Texas law prohibits medical providers from prescribing minors certain gender-affirming treatments, including reversible puberty blockers and hormones. It was passed by the Republican-dominated Texas legislature and signed by equally anti-queer Governor Greg Abbott in 2023. Paxton filed a similar lawsuit in October against Dr. Mei Lau, an adolescent medicine physician and associate professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. Paxton calls each doctor a radical gender activist who has clearly violated the law. Both lawsuits seek financial penalties as well as the revocation of the doctor's medical licenses for providing what experts consider to be often life-saving care.
Finally, when Tennessee's ban on pediatric gender-affirming health care goes before the United States Supreme Court, a historic champion will be appearing. The ACLU's AIDS HIV Project co-director, Chase Strangio, will be the first out transgender attorney to argue a case before the nation's highest court. Strangio will represent families of transgender young people and a supportive doctor in the case known as U.S. versus Scrimeti. They are asking that the State Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti be prevented from enforcing the ban. The suit argues that the prohibition on pediatric medical care violates the U.S. Constitution's guarantees of equal protection and due process. It also tramples provisions of the Affordable Care Act against discrimination based on sex. Strangio has worked on many high-profile LGBTQ rights cases, including the workers' rights Bostock v. Clayton County decision. He was also instrumental in fighting the Trump administration's efforts to ban transgender military service members. Strangio's co-director of the ACLU AIDS HIV Project is James Essex. He said, "There is no attorney in the country better suited for this landmark moment in LGBTQ history than Chase Strangio." Oral arguments in U.S. versus Grimetti will be heard on December 4th.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending November 2nd, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay safe.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
I'm John Ritchie.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Jerry Jewell.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
My name's Robbie Rogers.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
I'm Billy Bean.
This is John Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valange.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Reverend Troy Perry.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Andrew Sullivan.
This is Augustine Burroughs.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
I'm B.D. Wong.
This is Dorothy Alice.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren.
I'm Amanda Burst.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, and you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The showpiece of the homosexual movement.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
Oh, my.
And that's the truth.
Please do stay tuned.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Isn't life beautiful? Isn't life gay? Isn't life the perfect thing to pass the time away?
Well, folks, we'll be back in a minute with more excitement right after this word.
Once when my dad was visiting, we invited friends over for dinner, and the only conversation rule I laid down ahead of time was no discussion of sex. That was for my benefit. My father sat and listened through dinner conversations of gay politics, gay theory, gay gossip, and toward the end of the discussion, I turned to my dad and asked, "Well, Mr. Clinton, we have a very formal relationship. What do you think we as gay people can do to make more bridges to straight people?" My dad did one of his patented, exquisitely timed pauses and replied, "Keep talking." I'm Kate Clinton, inviting you to tune in to this station to hear This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
When we hold up, we change the course of our future.
The whole world is on pins and needles waiting for the outcome of the U.S. elections. One online meme compares it to an entire population waiting for STD results. Certainly the main stage is dominated by the two major political parties' ticket toppers, but there are notable queer campaigns that link to the same themes and could be significant in the big picture. There's the marriage equality Proposition 3 in California and the Senator Tammy Baldwin re-election campaign in the all-important state of Wisconsin.
Tonight, I want to talk about family. We know that all families don't look alike. My mother was a teenager when I was born, and she struggled with addiction. I never met my father, but I had two incredible grandparents who stepped in and raised me.
As a featured speaker talking about alternate family models at the Democratic National Convention, Senator Baldwin chose not to put the focus on LGBTQ families in particular. In a way, it wasn't necessary. Baldwin came to the U.S. Congress in 1998, the first out lesbian to be elected. Then she was the first out person elected to the Senate. Par for the Republican course, challenger Rick Hovde has thrown a lot of money into ads questioning Baldwin's current relationship.
This is Senator Tammy Baldwin. This is her life partner, Maria Brisbane, a Wall Street exec who makes millions advising the super rich how to make money off industries Tammy regulates.
Baldwin's in bed with Wall Street. While she sleeps in her girlfriend's million-dollar condo in New York City, Wisconsin families are getting hammered by high inflation and handouts for illegal immigrants.
Eric Hovde is desperately trying to distract us from his real vulnerabilities and conflicts of interest.
Baldwin responded in an interview with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Eric Hovde owns a $3 billion California bank, a $7 million home in Laguna Beach. He's been named one of Orange County's influential business people of the year 3 years in a row. And he wants to distract from the fact that he's not from here.
The hot-button issue of abortion rights turned into another attack on Maria Brisbane during Baldwin and Hovde's only debate.
Your rights and freedoms should not depend on your zip code or the state in which you live.
But her partner on Wall Street, a Wall Street executive, is investing in big tech and big pharma, and they don't disclose those investments.
Eric Hovde should stay out of my personal life. And I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives.
Baldwin's race is pivotal not only for the Democrats to retain control of the Senate, but because Wisconsin is a battleground state where a razor-thin margin could decide the presidential election.
You may be surprised, people in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade is the reason behind a California state ballot measure. Activists from the Courage campaign explain Proposition 3.
Proposition 3 is the Right to Marry and Repeal Proposition 8 amendment, which would do two things. First, it would establish the right to marry as a protected fundamental right, and two, it would repeal Prop 8, which was passed by voters in 2008, from the California state constitution.
Sounds simple, right? To right-wing critics like Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council and his podcast guest Jonathan Keller of the California Research Council, it's the devil in disguise.
It's true that Prop 3 would remove the definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman, but it's really about what they are putting into the Constitution. The fact that they are changing this and removing that language and inserting marriage now as a so-called fundamental right. But I think most crucially and the most likely outcome, there is no definition on this or restriction on this to the number of people who can get married. And I think that polygamy is the next way station on this train of the sexual revolution.
Jonathan, this is not at all far reaching in terms of your description here. We're actually seeing this in the states as it pertains to abortion. They're putting abortion into the state constitutions. This is different. It's not statutory. And they're putting it in as a fundamental right. So if we're talking about marriage and there's no definition in it, this is a Trojan horse being placed into the California state constitution, is it not?
Prop 3 proponents like State Assembly member Evan Lowe also see the constitutional implications but their eyes are on the threat of the current conservative-dominated Supreme Court.
It's sort of seen as, quote-unquote, zombie language. But the fact of the matter is, given where the direction of the United States Supreme Court is, that provides the impetus and the sense of urgency to say that we need to preempt this.
End of marriage equality is just one of the horrors of the dreaded Project 2025, a lengthy far-right manifesto of drastic plans for a new Republican administration. GLAAD dramatized the media advocacy organization's vision of a dystopian future in its ads.
Sorry, running a little behind today. This should only take a few minutes.
Okay.
6 years experience, outstanding employee, promoted twice. Okay, great. So, new president, new policies, I'm sure you get it. I have just a couple of questions for you. Have you participated in diversity or DEI initiatives? Or any initiative that promotes gender ideology or deviates from the biblically based definition of a marriage? Are you now or have you ever been a member of any of the following groups?
It's time for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the President of the United States of America, and to the biblical values for which our country stands, and to the natural order of man and woman under God, loyal to the President at all times, with liberty and justice for all.
It's enough to give anyone election anxiety. As Esli Tepper, an MB therapist from Ohio, admitted in an Instagram post, but they say it's not all bad.
If you're a part of the Election Anxiety Club, most of us, let's have a chat. Having election anxiety isn't just being afraid about the outcome of this election. It means that you care. It means that you're paying attention. And above all, in my opinion, it means that you have hope. You still have hope that there could be a better future for all of us. Being anxious about this election isn't inherently a bad thing, but we can be honest about how it makes us feel, especially in our bodies. Like, it literally feels bad. To have this much anxiety about the election feels so bad. Let's talk about how we can manage and regulate that discomfort.
Tepper recommends getting up and moving, physical activity, to relieve that physical anxiety.
I don't care. Whatever you need to do to move your body to the point where it doesn't feel so bad and wiggly inside, the way I like to see it is our body creates this anxiety and these hormones, right, that we're supposed to use to, like, fight, flight, do something with it. But if we're just kind of sitting there and we're looking at, like, the poles and we're seeing, oh my God, and our body starts to get all that stress energy in it, and we're just sitting in a chair like I am right now, it's just going to stay there, and we're going to get the wiggles, right? We're going to be uncomfortable, and it's just going to build and build and build in our body, and we're not going to be able to regulate.
Dr. Jonathan Matthias Lassiter is a Black gay culturally informed psychologist who teaches at Rowan University. He offered his suggestions for combating election anxiety on Instagram.
I have 3 tips to help you decrease political anxiety if that is something that you are currently experiencing. One is to limit your media exposure. So we all know there's the 24-hour news cycle. Doesn't mean you have to be engaged 24 hours. Also, curate your social media so that you're not seeing all the doom and gloom on your timeline. 2, connect with a supportive group. An African-centered principle is collectivity. Connecting with your community, who is going to support you, who you can share your political anxiety with, and who will also help you in doing what you need to take care of yourself. Finally, focus on what you can control. We can't control everything. We can't control the outcome. We can control, again, our media consumption. We can control who we are around, and we can control our vote. But that's it. So focus on what we can control, do what we can there, and let everything else go.
When we all vote, when we all vote, when we all, when we all vote, when we all vote, when we all vote, we use our power to change the world.
This Way Out historic broadcasts from 1988 to 2023 are now preserved and available for research and streaming at the American Archive of Public Broadcasting and at the University of California Santa Barbara Library's Special Collections.
Welcome to the inaugural broadcast of Inside Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
The early programs were titled Inside Out until an organization of the same name sent a cease and desist letter.
I'm Greg Gordon.
I'm Lucia Chappell. And during the next half hour, you'll hear reports on the United Kingdom's notoriously homophobic Clause 29.
Almost 200 lesbian and gay activists gather for a war conference in the United States.
In the Magic Kingdom, only heterosexuals can dance cheek to cheek.
And despite violence last September, lesbians and gays in Dubuque prepare for another march. And maybe you can help.
All that and even more now that you're tuning Inside Out.
This Way Out Preservation and Access Project was made possible by grants from UC Santa Barbara Libraries and the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, a collaboration between the Library of Congress and GBH. We thank Keith Brown and Ira Ruffles at Gay Spirit Radio and David Soibert at UC Santa Barbara for the loan of reel-to-reel tapes and cassettes for digitization. Digitization done by George Blood Audio in Philadelphia. I'm Brian DeShazer for This Way Out.
There's nothing so international as a powerful idea. Hi, I'm Edmund White. While I live in Paris and have worked in many cities in the U.S., it is the overwhelming international flavor of the lesbian and gay rights movement that has proved so powerful and impressive over the past couple of decades. And one radio program, This Way Out, has been there to record, to inform, and to entertain. So please keep listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine on this station.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Michael LeBeau and John Dyer V and produced by Brian DeShazer. I produced this week's feature. You heard music by Del Shannon, Arne Batson, and the Voices Raised LA Vocal Collective, Woody Guthrie, and Emma's Revolution. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks David Hunt of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KBOO Corvallis, Albany and Hood River, Oregon, WEFT Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, 7RGY Jeeves in Tasmania, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay sane, and stay tuned, y'all.